How many of you have ever been to a place of great importance and maybe you didn't realize how special that place was? My wife and I, we have been privileged over the years. I had an uncle that lived in Washington, D.C. to frequent the Washington, D.C. area. Many of our trips in our early marriage, we would go just maybe like 1 or 2 days, and we would try to take in some of the key sites. And then 1 year, we decided that we would hire a guide to take us around. You know, we got in one of those, you know, those trips where you get on the bus and they take you around. They show you all the parts of the city. And for the first time, we realized that we were passing some very important things. We did not even know what they were. For example, I remember that we went by one place where the tour guide pointed out to us, this is the 0 mile marker for the United States. That meant that every mile marker in the United States started with that one. And I'm sure we drove past that many times. We did not even realize how important it was. You know, and sometimes I think when you look at this town called Bethlehem, I don't think people realize how important that town really is. I don't even think they realize how important it was even in the first century. I don't even think the residents realized how significant Bethlehem was for the ancient world and the impact it would have on our world today. This town is mentioned several times in Christmas carols. We hear it often. We'll hear about Bethlehem. And though it's a small in population, at least in the first century it was, it is very, very important. And we might overlook that if we're not careful. Here's what the town looks like today. Eddie, this is just not working at all for me. I'm not sure why I've rebooted this. And so, if you can make, yeah, there we go. That's what I need right there. Here's what a picture of Bethlehem looks like today. It's a town of about 20,000 people. It's a rather much larger than it was in the first century, which they believe to be around 1,000 or so people that made up the town of Bethlehem in the first century. We go to the next slide. We'll get the understanding. Let's move into the next one. I want us to look at where its location is. And if you look at this, let's see if I can get this to work for me. If you look at this location, Bethlehem is in what has commonly been called the West Bank. And we hear a lot about the West Bank. We're not even sure what, I think in our world, we're not sure what all this West Bank is. But the West Bank is, of course, obviously located in the green area. You see Jerusalem right in the middle of the West Bank, and just a little below, about 5 miles, is what is called Bethlehem. So if you were to go there today, it would not be visually impressive. It would look more like a fortress than it would a town. If you made your way in, you'd have to go through a checkpoint, show your passport to get in, as well as to get out of Bethlehem. But it is a very, very significant city. And if you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2, we'll read a little of the story of what took place in that city. Matthew chapter 2, and take your app or your phone or whatever it is. Don't text on your phone. Just take your phone and look up, if you would, with me, please, Matthew chapter 2 or your Bibles, and we'll draw attention to verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've heard or seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Here, Matthew is writing about the greatest event that ever took place in the history of the world, and that was the birth of Jesus Christ in this little town of 1,000 people. It may seem unimportant, and it may have seemed unimportant and insignificant to the people themselves, but I'm going to tell you that this was a very, very powerful event in the history of our world. The town itself goes back all the way to the Old Testament. And what had happened in this town was something that the world will never forget. It is that which even the residents themselves, while they were asleep, something took place and they woke up the next morning. And not only was their town changed, but the world was changed. What happened is God became man and came into that city called Bethlehem. It reminds me of how it was when all of us, if you were alive, and most of you were, in September 10th, 2001, when we went to bed and we woke up the next morning and our world was dramatically changed. September 11th, 2001 was an event that changed our country and our world as we know it here in America. Computers and security has changed and it affects us even today on how we handle our banking and how we handle our securities and how we do our travels and how we get through security points and so on all over the country. Our world's been changed. Even how we fill out our DMV forms, it has been changed. There in Bethlehem, the world was changed with the birth of the Savior. But what was it about Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? What is so significant? Why is it so important? Well, I can assure you it is not the dirt or the ground or the area that made Bethlehem so important. It is the people that gave notoriety to this town. It is the people that made the difference, that God worked in the lives of the people of this town, at least the significant events that we see through the people of this town. And it is not where the town is or how big the town is, it is the God that worked in that town. And I want to say this to you today, if you're here, it doesn't matter what town you live in, how big or how small it is, or where you live, it is God that makes all the difference in the world. It is God that matters the most. And that's also in our lives. It doesn't matter how educated or uneducated, or how talented or untalented we might think we are. If we have God, God can use us right where we are. But before we come to the New Testament, we have to visit briefly three key figures of the Old Testament that had great connections to Bethlehem. In fact, these figures set up the birth of Jesus. The very first one is we have Rachel. Rachel was married to Jacob. And we learn that Rachel, of course, is the mother of Joseph, who ultimately became the deliverer. And even today, they have a tomb, and we have a picture of the tomb here, that they have kind of made a monument out of in Bethlehem for Rachel, because this is where Rachel was buried and where Jacob had buried her. The second figure that is very important is the figure of Ruth. And the whole story of Ruth is written about her life and what took place in the area of Bethlehem. How her and Boaz met and they married. It's a great story. I encourage you to go back and read it. It's a book named after her in the Old Testament. And Ruth is the great-grandmother of David. And he's the third key figure. David is the one that is the famous king who slew Goliath the giant. And we know that David became a mighty king, and he's the most famous king of Israel. And it's through him that the lineage of the ultimate Jesus Christ who would come to Bethlehem. You see, when I think of that, I'm reminded of how God works, even in the smallest places. God does his great work, and thank God for that. But I want to focus on the word Bethlehem this morning. I want you to think with me. Have you ever noticed the importance of names in the Bible? You ever notice how significant those names are? I mean, it's hard to miss the truth about the names. There's so many mentions of those in Scripture. We think of names, and sometimes names are put together, and it's strange, but sometimes they don't put names together that they don't really have a connection. When you put them together, they have some kind of meaning. We'll look at that in a moment, but just kind of look at it like this. Let's look at this illustration here. Next slide, please. Is Bethlehem. Beth means house, and Lehem, and that's how they pronounce it, Lehem means bread, house of bread. So when you think of Bethlehem, it refers to house of bread. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you found that trying to eat healthy and trying to eat a low-carb diet can be quite challenging? How many of you found that to be the case? How about like right now? Isn't this a challenging time of the year to try to do that? You know, try to be careful on what we eat and how much we eat and all of that. Well, you know, for us, bread is a luxury. I mean, you know, many times you go to a place like a restaurant, and you'll sit down and they'll say, can we bring you a roll, or can we bring you a biscuit, or can we bring you something like that? And so, you know, sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we'll fill up on the rolls or biscuits before the meal comes. But this bread here, this house of bread, this place, this name means something. Because we have to understand that for the Israelite in the ancient world, bread was not just a luxury, it was a necessity. It was a staple of their diet. I mean, honestly, we can survive without bread, but they could not. They would grow grain, and in that grain they would make bread so that they could eat and feed their family. I mean, it was the way it was. Bread was very important to them, and you know, for most of us, you know, we think, man, I've got to have some bread. Well, we really don't have to, but we like to have it. You know, today, you know, we don't think of eating bread as a meal. In fact, we would kind of look at it this way. The only bread that we would have a meal of is a donut. That probably would be our bread. You know, that's our meal. So we don't really think of bread as being like the Israelite. So they understood that they needed bread. It was a major part. And for some of them, that was their only food that they ate for their diet. Now what we find then is in this town, this town is called the House of Bread. But what makes it so powerful is the fact that Jesus came to the House of Bread. Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one that came to this earth. He tells us over in John chapter number 6, if we could go to the next slide there, Eddie, the Bible says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You see, that babe that was born in Bethlehem's manger 2,000 years ago calls himself the bread of life. You could say it this way, that the bread of life came to the house of bread. And that means that this bread meant something very significant spiritually to the nation. They understood that. And not only does it mean something to them, it meant something to the entire world. Why bread? What was it about the bread? What is the significance of the fact that Jesus said to you and to me, and as he tells in that ancient world, I'm the bread of life. What is he saying? What does that mean? Well, let me give you three lessons that the Bible speaks of, spiritual lessons that the bread of life, what it means. Number one, it means a bread is social. It's a social bond. You see, when you and I, when we realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that Jesus Christ came, that He died on the cross, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, when we recognize that and we accept Him as Savior, we are born into what's called the family of God. We're a part of God's family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a bond one with another through Jesus Christ. And when they talk about the breaking of bread, the breaking of bread meant that they would share a meal, that they had a bond with one another. And it was the time that they would sit down and share a meal when they would talk about and live out life together and show respect and show love to one another. I mean, that's what it was about. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm the bread of life. I'm about that. And as you understand, there's a special bond that I have with my people, that I'm the bread of life. And as you, as God's people, you have a bond together, one with another. That's why I happen to believe that's important that we sit down and have at least one meal every day together as a family. There should be a time when you sit down and share a dinner meal. I know that normally in a breakfast, people are so in a rush and people go out at different times, and sometimes it's early in the mornings, and I get that, and lunch is almost impossible with kids in school and two working parents doing different things. I understand that. But man, have a time when you sit down. And if you can't do it every night, do it as many nights as you can. It's just my conviction. I think it's very healthy to sit down and share a meal together. It bonds us. And the breaking of bread is the idea of bonding one with another as we share the Lord's Supper. And each of us participate in that. We are sharing that bond with Jesus Christ. So the first lesson we learned, that bread is a social bond. But second of all, bread is sustenance. If you go all the way back in the Old Testament, you realize that when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, that God had provided their need. And what was the food that God gave them in the wilderness? What was the food? Manna. And remember that God gave them manna. That was like, it was like a bread-like substance. And that pointed ultimately to Jesus, because without the bread, Israel would have died in the wilderness. And I want to tell you this morning that without Jesus Christ, the bread of life, that we have no hope. We need Jesus. He's the one that gives us spiritual life. It all starts with Him. It's not our goodness, our baptism, our church membership. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that offers us spiritual life, because He is the bread of life. He is spiritual food to our souls. But then thirdly, the third lesson we learn is that bread is symbolic. When we partake of the Lord's table, we're reminded that bread speaks of the broken body of Jesus. That it's when He came and He gave His life on the cross and His body was broken for every one of us, that what we realize is that it is in that broken body that we are forgiven through Jesus. His blood paid the payment. His broken body suffering for us, all because of who He is. And it provides for us an understanding that when we receive Jesus, that we have the presence of God with us every day. The Bible speaks of the Lord's Supper again in this way. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord death till he come. That's the Lord's Supper, and we participate about four times a year here at our church, and as we do it in the evening, and we'll come together and we'll recognize the importance of it, we're showing to the world and those around us the importance of the Lord's presence in our life. The bond that comes together as the church unites together around the Lord's table. Matthew quotes in verse number 6 here, he quotes, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that's to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." You know what he's quoting is this Micah 5:2 passage. It's a prophetic passage. It points to the fact that Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. That Jesus Christ ultimately satisfies, that he fulfills everything that God says in the Old Testament. But it's also a reminder to us that God himself comes in the form of Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and that he satisfies every spiritual need that we could ever have. It is Jesus that makes the difference. You know, today you may be here and not even know that you are spiritually starving. The fact is that God sent his Son to provide for you and me to take care of our hungering soul. Will you let him fill that hungering soul in your life? Will you let him be your bread of life? If you've never done that today, I want to encourage you to call upon Jesus and let him be your Savior. But if you've done that, and thank God you have, you might be here today as a Christian, and maybe you've been lulled to sleep by the busyness of all the activities that are going on in this life. You've not taken time to make room for Jesus. Give him place in your life. Do you have a place for him? What step is it that God would have you to take in following Jesus? What is it, the next step? Where is it in your life that you need to go that you can follow Jesus? Oh, let me tell you what a difference it makes. In that little town of Bethlehem, that house of bread, is a cry out to every one of us, "I am the bread of life, and I will satisfy every one of your needs." Let's pray. Heavenly